Hi, it's Anna. Actor Mahershala Ali just got an Academy Award nomination for his role in the movie Moonlight. 10 months ago, he was on stage with us in Brooklyn as part of a live show. I talked with Mahershala along with his wife, Amatus. Their conversation was part of a big episode that we released after that show, but we wanted to re-release their conversation in case you missed it. Because we caught Mahershala and Amatus at a moment just before their lives would radically change, before all the Oscar buzz for Mahershala, and before they were expecting their first child. They announced the pregnancy in December. When we were together, Mahershala and Amatus told me about how they met at NYU, about their shared Muslim faith, and about the compromises they're willing to make for work and those they aren't. Here's our conversation from last March on stage at the Brooklyn Academy of Music. Mahershala, I want you to take me back to when you were an acting student at NYU and you noticed this woman, Amatus.
Wow.
What do you remember about her at that point?
Oh, that's good, because...
Oh, no.
Yeah. See, I wasn't particularly good at talking to women, and... So I was in grad school. I was a little bit of a late bloomer with a lot of things. But so I was in grad school. She was in the undergrad program. I had a friend who also went to NYU, went to undergrad. So he was in ETA at the same studio she was in. You were in ETA, right?
ETW,
sorry.
ETW, what's that stand for?
Experimental Theater Wing.
Yeah. All right.
So
an artist.
The
yes.
NPR of...
Yeah.
So my buddy who had graduated from ETW was the same year as I was in the grad program. So we would be like leaving the building. We were on the fifth floor. The grad students were coming in and out. It's a small program. And I'd see these like this pack of girls who used to kind of like run together. And it was a pack of girls. I'm telling this story. So, and you know, she's very much individual. She would be in and out, but she would still be with the pack of girls.
Oh.
And I used to say to Andre, I'd be like, yo, man, Amatus, man. I'd be like, yeah, man, Amatus, brother. So I was just trying to figure out how I was going to approach this, considering that I don't talk to women all that well. So you got to know, this is a long time ago. This is 97, so it's not necessarily corny to say. You got to think the poetry slam era. Like, I'm from the Bay Area, so like that.
Cool.
That's a very real thing
then.
You know. But anyway, so I was like, So I wrote this little poem, and I walked around with that joint in my backpack for like a month. And then finally I ran into Amatus, and it seemed like the appropriate time to give it to her.
Oh, my God.
So I give her this...
On paper?
I give her this poem.
It was a postcard.
Oh.
She says she still has it. I give her this poem... And no response. Like, she doesn't really say anything. I run into her. I'm a little embarrassed about it now because she never mentions it. She goes to London for a year, the year later. Like, we never connect. And then my third and last year of grad school, her senior year of college, ran into a friend of hers, invited her to a show.
Okay, when do I get
reconnect.
To...
Okay,
so,
come on in.
Jump in!
Your turn.
Whatever
Dad.
She says, that's how it really happened.
So what happened
your
senior year and when he was in his third
anyway,
year?
Anyway, he's a really good-looking guy, right? So, like, literally, he's, like, the most attractive person on the campus. Like, he played basketball in college, and I am a super nerd and a late bloomer as well, as many college students are when you really... peel that layer back. So I'm like, what? Like, I just didn't even know what to do with that information and didn't even really date that much. And, you know, anyway.
So you got a postcard from the hottest guy on campus and you decided you just couldn't deal.
Ignore me. Literally ignored me. That's cool. It worked out. That's cool.
Anyway. That's like a dissertation, right?
Yeah, it's a long story, but it worked out.
So then you both moved on from NYU, and you weren't in touch for many, many years, right?
Like, I ran into her one time, twice. So we saw each other in California one time in like 2001. Because then we saw each other again in like maybe like 2003 at this conference thing, and we like ran into each other and connected real quick. But after that, we didn't talk for 9-10 years.
So when you heard from Mahershala after those 9 or 10 years, what was happening in your life, Amatus?
It's a lot. So I had gone through probably like a total of 3 deaths to gun violence. And I really stepped into a different vortex. And it's one of those cliche examples of you never know what's going to happen in your life. And I'm the only one in my family to go to college, got a full scholarship. I actually went to a private school for high school on a school full scholarship. And so I really was living this dichotomous life that all came crashing to a crazy head and gave me just a lot of information to really pick myself up and really choose a lot of things for my life as well. I grew up in a really religious household and all the other stuff. Anyway, by the time we reconnected, I think I was 1,000% sure about what I truly wanted in my life and had been praying and just doing a whole bunch of things to reclaim a lot of things. And I was, you know, just present and ready to be
guided.
Oh, whoa! Oh! Yeah, to marry a comedian.
When you say you got clearer about what you wanted, what changed?
Really simply, I never really thought I would ever get married, to be honest. And you know, I was just ravenous for information, doing things, I'm here, world, let's keep going. And a lot of my friends are like that too. My parents were divorced, so it just wasn't something that really was on my radar, to be honest. And I wasn't upset about it at all. But when you go through a tragedy or something crazy that like tears your crap up, you then really realize and decide you're not going to take anything for granted. And so it was the first time in my life that I was like, wow, okay, I really can't go through anything serious ever again by myself. And it was just something that clicked and was like, yeah, now I know why people get married. One of the reasons. Like, because real stuff be happening. And like,
and
real stuff.
Mahershala, did you have a sense of what was going on in her life when you reached out?
No, I didn't, because we hadn't talked.
Yeah.
But like once we did start talking, I could tell that it was obvious to me that she had been deeply affected by experiences that she had when we first knew each other, but that she was climbing out of something, you know. And I think as we began to talk, because she was in New York and I was in Los Angeles, like we were communicating a lot. We were just talking every day, so there wasn't anything real physical happening.
Wait, so it's like late
great.
Night phone calls with a 3-hour time difference, that sort
yeah,
of thing?
Yeah, yeah, and there was just an emphasis on the communication and like really becoming friends, because in most relationships, people are within close proximity to one another, and it becomes about other things very quickly, and things begin to shut down. Like, you don't work as hard to get to know each other. And because we were so far away from each other, and I was busy working and doing my thing or whatever, that it was all about talking. And so I could tell that she was in a period of transition, and kind of clearing her slate and getting her head together, as was I. I was just a little bit, I think in that time, I think she would admit that I was just a little bit further along in a certain way, because I was very clear about when I reached out to her, the reason I reached out to her was because I was very clear about where I was at. So I was coming into it with a clean slate.
You were reaching out with very serious intentions.
I was just, yeah, well, I mean, look. I know, yeah. I was like, where are you at, essentially? Like, because what's the point? Like, you're not just running around to be dating, just to be dating. I'm pushing 40. Like,
it was time.
You know, I've done that. Like, this is like, I know she's a serious person. She's extraordinarily intelligent. She's about the right things, spiritually grounded, a beautiful person. Nice. So I reached out, like, so where are you at in your life? And at a certain point was really upfront about it. But, you know, but still, I could tell she was in a place of transition. So yeah.
And I want to know a little bit more about how you got to that place, because you went to college on an athletic scholarship initially. Mm-hmm. You played basketball, got kind of turned off by mm-hmm. the culture of college athletics,
yeah.
and then decided to commit your life to theater, to acting.
Right.
How do you think going through that process of college athletics, playing on a team, but also learning about the commerce of it, how has that shaped the way you think about your work now?
Well, one thing that never totally jived with me with athletics, I grew up playing sports as early as 4 years old. I was competing very seriously. I started in BMX racing and later on got into basketball and all this stuff. But I never really related to that whole thing about beating someone else. That just, it's just not my spirit. And so I played basketball. I'm a goal-oriented person. At least I was for a time. Maybe that shifted, but I could be very driven by goals. And so it became this goal to go to school for free, because otherwise I wasn't going. And so I got a basketball scholarship, and that was great, and my education was paid for. But what spoke to me when I compare the two, what I've learned about it, is that acting is about being your best self. I'm not going to out-act somebody. My work may resonate to you more than the person's work that's standing next to me, but I have to be my best self. And what I love about that is I can take personal responsibility for that. I can control that. But when you start going, when you become competitive and it's about beating someone else, even if you quote-unquote beat them, that doesn't mean that you're your best self. You just did enough to beat them. Hmm. So I'm more so about working my own stuff out and getting down into my own blocks and whatnot and trying to work through those things and live as honestly and truthfully as possible, because I feel like that all carries into your work as well. So, and, you know, but did I kind of answer your question?
I see why you are looking out for a spiritually grounded woman. I hear that. So you are both Muslim. You converted when you were a teenager, Mahershala.
I was 25.
25, so you're out of college.
I was in grad school. I was in my last year of graduate school.
What happened?
I had, before we met, so my mom's an ordained minister. My grandmother's an ordained minister. My mother's sister, like, I come from a very serious pocket of Christians, like hardcore. So yeah, her father, is an imam. So I left home very early. I left home at like 16, moved in with my grandparents. I needed to have, my dad was on Broadway, so my dad was an actor. So my parents are polar opposites, you know, in terms of just how they approach life. Not good or bad, I'm just, they're very different. My father's deceased, but they were very different. So I just needed more space to take in the world, especially being influenced by, like, my mom would say, you know, you ain't going to heaven unless you believe in Jesus Christ. My dad would say, Jesus ain't God. Like, you know, so, like, that was my upbringing. So I needed the space to kind of, like, come to terms with those things for myself. So in grad school, being in New York, I'm from the Bay Area, I was in New York, it's moving, it's fast. There's, like, especially Brooklyn in 97, 2000 is a very different Brooklyn, very conscious, very artistic, and like black stars running around and Erykah Badu's down the street and Rosie's over there. Like, you got, Brooklyn is like Spike Lee's Brooklyn still, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's about being awake. And so a person like me who's very porous, I'm taking that in and trying to come to terms with what I'm going through spiritually. And so I began reading some books. And what spoke to me about Islam was that it was the emphasis on God's oneness, and that all men, even Muhammad, were men. They were messengers. Like, they're not to be worshipped.
People.
They're they're people, you know? And that was one of the things that attracted me. But the biggest thing was I went with her and her mother. First time I went to a mosque. So I go in, make the prayer. And it's in Arabic. I don't understand a word of it. And I'm kind of following the brothers around, doing all the prostrations and whatnot. And I just start crying. And I was like, what? And I'm not really going through anything in that at that moment. So things are pretty dang good, actually. And I just have this really strong response where this prayer is like resonating in my body and I'm like crying. So that was the first time. I woke up a week later and I get up and I go, I gotta go to the mosque. I just woke up and like, I gotta go to the mosque. Long story short, I converted that day. I called her. I said, I converted. She said, you did what? She said, I converted. I won't say what mosque I did it at. But she goes, where? I said, I went to such and such mosque. She goes, they're crazy over there. What? No, you did not. I was like, yeah. It's like, yes. No, they're crazy. Hold on. So next thing you know, I had these other brothers calling me. And I got taken care of. But, yeah.
So Amatrice, I want to ask you, you married in 2013, and it was a time when Mahershala's career is kind of exploding with House of Cards happening. He's in a movie in June, Free State of Jones with Matthew McConaughey. You're going to be in a Marvel superhero show on Netflix, Luke Cage. All of this is happening as your marriage, you know, you're 3 years in. How has your faith together sort of structured how you think about success and dealing with success together? How do you talk about it?
I don't know. We don't have conversations about success in that kind of way. I mean, he's having his own experience with success and what that means for him. And it's amazing to see specifically his career grow. So it's a beautiful thing to see.
Mahershala, does your faith ever feel like it's in tension with Hollywood?
You mean in friction?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I have to... When I read projects, when things pop up for me that I feel like are kind of counterintuitive to what the faith requires of me, I have to figure that out a little bit.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, for instance, like, you know, there's stuff on House of Cards. They're like, so I don't do simulated sex scenes, right? But I also can't get in the way of the story they want to tell. So it's like, how do we go about doing this and you get what you want and then I don't walk away with just the bunch of just Islam dirt on me, you know what I mean? Just a bunch of just muddy spiritual stuff on me, you know what I mean? Just so I can kind of stay true to my journey and my path, but also not get in the way of the story that needs to be told. It doesn't mean you can't be the love interest. It doesn't mean that you can't be a sexual being in something, but do I need to be like bumping and grinding and doing a bunch of stuff with the girl and flipping her over? Like, nah, I don't really need to be doing that. You know what I mean?
You can suggest some other camera angles.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, pan over to the flower shaking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mahershala Ali and Amatrice, thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thank you.
That's really
nice of you.
Go see Mahershala in the movie Moonlight. You won't regret it. And you can check out Amatrice's work at amatriceart.com. And you can see a very charming GIF from their baby shower from Amatrice's Instagram on our website at deathsexmoney.org. There's also a link there to the entire live show that they were a part of in Brooklyn.